Good morning. I'm Bill Daughtry. This is New York Sports and Beyond on 98.7 ESPN, our weekly public affairs program where our goal is to entertain, enlighten, and expose you to information that could lead to positive change in your life. Of course, this is a very big week at ESPN. The auction is already underway at ebay.com/ESPN. The auction to benefit the V Foundation for Cancer Research. And on Wednesday night, a great week concludes with the ESPYs, the 25th presentation of Excellence in Sports Performance Yearly Awards out at the Microsoft Theater in Los Angeles. This year, the ESPYs will be hosted by none other than Peyton Manning. A very proud lineage with the ESPYs, a very proud history of the work that this organization has done. We will review some of that work with Sherry Mazur. She's from the V Foundation for Cancer Research. But before we hear from Sherry, we will hear from two of the most inspirational speeches in American history. Not American sports history, but in American history. The speeches delivered by Jim Valvano in 1993 at the inaugural ESPY presentation, and Stuart Scott, who received the Jimmy V Award for Perseverance at the ESPYs in July of 2014. Two inspirational, two significant speeches we will share both in this program. We will hear from Sherry Mazur from the Jimmy V Foundation for Cancer Research, and we'll also hear from Lynn Fuller. Lynn is the author of a book entitled Secrets to Successful Events. This is the reunion season, high school, family, you name it. Folks are getting together. And Lynn Fuller, she has some very interesting observations that she shares in her book, Secrets to Successful Events, that she'll share with us right here on this edition of New York Sports and Beyond. When we continue, we will hear from both Jim Valvano and Stuart Scott, two of the most significant moments in the 25-year history of the ESPYs, which will be handed out on July 12th at the Microsoft Theater in Los Angeles. Peyton Manning is this year's host. Of course, you can watch the ESPYs broadcast, the ESPYs telecast on ESPN. When we return, we'll hear from Jim Valvano. We'll hear from Stuart Scott right here on this edition of New York Sports and Beyond with yours truly, Bill Daughtry, on 98.7 ESPN. On March 4th, 1993, the ESPYs were born. It was the first ESPY ceremony, and the first Arthur Ashe Courage and Humanitarian Award was handed out to Jim Valvano, who had received a cancer diagnosis just a year earlier. It was also the night that the V Foundation for Cancer Research was spoken into being. Let's go back to March 4th, 1993 at Madison Square Garden, where Jim Valvano, with the first ESPY ceremonies, accepted the first Arthur Ashe Courage and Humanitarian Award.
I can't tell you what an honor it is to even be mentioned the same breath with an Arthur Ashe. This is something I certainly will treasure forever. But as was said on the tape, I don't have one of those things going with the cue cards, so I'm going to speak longer than anybody else has spoken tonight. That's the way it goes. Time is very precious to me. I don't know how much I have left, and I have some things that I would like to say. Hopefully, at the end, I'll have something that will be important to other people, too. But I can't help it. Now, when I'm fighting cancer, everybody knows that. And people ask me all the time about how you go through your life and how's your day. And nothing has changed for me, as Dick said. I'm a very emotional, passionate man. I can't help it. That's being the son of Rocco and Angelina Valvano. That just comes with the territory. Right, we hug, we kiss, we love. And when people say to me, how do you get through life or each day, it's the same thing. To me, there are three things we all should do every day. If we do this every day of our life, you're going to have, what a wonderful, number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. And number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day. You do that 7 days a week, you're going to have something special. And so I can't help. I rode on the plane up today with Mike Krzyzewski, my good friend and a wonderful coach, but people don't realize he's a 10 times better person than he is a coach. And we know he's a great coach. He's meant a lot to me in these last 5 or 6 months of my battle. But when I look at Mike, I think we competed against each other as players. I coached against him for 15 years. And I always have to think about what's important in life is to think to me of three things: where you started, where you are, and where you're going to be. Those are the three things that I try and do every day. And, you know, when I think about getting up and giving a speech, I can't help it. I have to remember the first speech I ever gave. I was coaching at Rutgers University. That was my first job. Wonderful. And I was the freshman coach. That's when freshmen played on freshman teams. And I was so fired up about my first job. I see Lou Holtz, Coach Holtz here. What was it like the first job you had, right? The very first time you stood in the locker room to give a pep talk. That's a special place, the locker room, for a coach to give a talk. So my idol as a coach was Vince Lombardi. And I read this book called Commitment to Excellence by Vince Lombardi. And in the book, Lombardi talked about the first time he spoke before his Green Bay Packer team in a locker room. There were perennial losers. And I'm reading this, and Lombardi said he was thinking, should it be a long talk, a short talk? But he wanted to be emotional. He said, be brief. And this is what he did. He normally you get in a locker room, I don't know, 25 minutes, a half hour before the team takes the field. You do your little X and O's, and then you give the great Newt Rockne talk. We all do. Speech number 84. You pull them right out. You get ready. Get your squad ready. Well, this is the first one I ever gave. And I read this thing, Lombardi. What he said was he didn't go in. He waited. His team was wondering, where is he? Where is this great coach? He's not there. 10 minutes. He's still not there. 3 minutes before they have to take the field, Lombardi comes in, bangs the door open. And I think you all remember what great presence he had. Right, great presence. And he walked in, and he just walked back and forth like this, just staring at the players. And he said, all eyes on me. And I'm reading this in this book, and I'm getting a picture of this Lombardi before his first game. And he said, gentlemen, we will be successful this year. You can focus on three things and three things only: your family, your religion, and the Green Bay Packers. And the rest of it, they knocked the walls down. The rest was history. I said, that's beautiful. I'm going to do that. Your family, your religion, and Rutgers basketball. That's it. I had it. I'm 21 years old. The kids I'm coaching are 19. All right? And I'm going to be the greatest coach in the world, the next Lombardi. And I'm ready. And I'm practicing out in right beside the locker room. The manager's telling me, you got to go in. Not yet. Family, religion, Rutgers basketball. All eyes on me. I got it. And now finally he said, 3 minutes. I said, fine. True story. I go to knock the doors open, just like Lombardi. Boom! It didn't open. I almost broke my arm. I was like, it was when it didn't open. Now I'm down. The players are looking. You know, coach, help the coach up. Help him up. You know? And now I did like Lombardi. I walked back and forth, right? And I was going like that with my arm, get the feeling back in it. And finally I said, gentlemen, all eyes on me. And these kids wanted to play. They're 19. Let's go. I said, gentlemen, we'll be successful this year if you can focus on three things and three things only. They said, yeah. I said, your family, your religion, and the Green Bay Packers, I told them. I did that. I remember that. I remember where I came from. It's so important to know where you are. And I know where I am right now. How do you go from where you are to where you want to be? And I think you have to have an enthusiasm for life. You have to have a dream, a goal, and you have to be willing to work for it. I talked about my family. My family is so important. People think I have courage. The courage of my family is my wife, Pam, my three daughters here, Nicole, Jamie, Leanne, my mom, who is right here too. And that screen is flashing up there 30 seconds, like I care about that screen right now, huh? I got tumors all over my body. I'm worried about some guy in the back going 30 seconds, huh? You got a lot. Hey, phenomenal, buddy. You got a lot. All right, get this. Wait, you kidding me? All right, nuts. I just got one last thing. I urge all of you, to enjoy your life, the precious moments you have, to spend each day with some laughter and some thought, to get your emotions going, to be enthusiastic every day. And Ralph Waldo Emerson said, nothing great can be accomplished without enthusiasm, to keep your dreams alive in spite of problems, whatever you have, to be able to work hard for your dreams to become true, become a reality. Now I look at where I am now, and I know what I want to do. What I would like to be able to do is to spend whatever time I have left and to give and maybe some hope to others. All right, Arthur Ashe Foundation is a wonderful thing. And AIDS, the amount of money pouring in for AIDS is not enough, but it is significant. But if I told you it's 10 times the amount that goes in for cancer research, I also tell you that 500,000 people will die this year of cancer. And I also tell you that one in every four will be afflicted with this disease. And yet, for somehow, we seem to have put it in a little bit of the background. I want to bring it back on the front table. We need your help. I need your help. We need money for research. It may not save my life. It may save my children's lives. It may save someone you love. And it's very important. And ESPN has been so kind to support me in this endeavor and allow me to announce tonight that with ESPN's support, which means what? Their money and their dollars, and they're helping me. We are starting the Jimmy V Foundation for Cancer Research. And its motto is, don't give up, don't ever give up. And that's what I'm going to try to do. Every minute that I have left, I will thank God for the day and the moment I have. And if you see me, smile and maybe give me a hug, because that's important to me too. But try, if you can, to support, whether it's AIDS or the Cancer Foundation, so that someone else might survive, might prosper, and might actually be cured of this dreaded disease. I can't thank ESPN enough for allowing this to happen, and I'm going to work as hard as I can, you know, for cancer research, and hopefully we'll have some cures and some breakthroughs. And I'd like to think I'm going to fight my brains out to be back here again next year for the Arthur Ashe recipient. I want to give it next year. I know I've got to go. I've got to go. And I've got one last thing. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind. It cannot touch my heart. And it cannot touch my soul. And those three things are going to carry on forever. I thank you, and God bless you all.
Jim Valvano died on April 28, 1993. He was 47 years old. In July of 2014, Stuart Scott received the Jimmy V Award for Perseverance at the ESPYs. The award ceremony followed a week where Stuart Scott had four cancer-related surgeries in just 7 days.
You know, tomorrow all my boys are going to be like, yo, man, I saw you at the ESPYs with Peyton Manning, Money Mayweather, and KD. I'm going to be like, yeah, whatever. Jack Bauer saved the world, and he introduced me. 24 is my favorite TV show of all time, so Kiefer Sutherland, thank you very much. I am very honored. Every day I am reminded that our life's journey is really about the people who touch us. When I first heard that I was going to be honored with this reward, the very first thing that I did was I was speechless, briefly. I've presented this award before. I mean, I've watched in awe as Kay Yao and Eric LeGrand and all these other great people grace this stage. And although intellectually I get it, I'm a public figure, I have a public job, I'm battling cancer, hopefully I'm inspiring, at my gut level, I really didn't think that I belong with those great people. But I listened to what Jim Valvano said 21 years ago. The most poignant 7 words ever uttered in any speech anywhere. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Those great people didn't. Coach Valvano didn't. So to be honored with this, I now have a responsibility to also not ever give up. I'm not special. I just listened to what the man said. I listened to all that he said, everything that he asked of us, and that's to build the V Foundation. And let me tell you, man, it works. I'm talking tangible benefits. You saw me in that clinical trial. Now, here's the thing about that. Coach Valvano's words 21 years ago, helping me and thousands of people like me right now, direct benefits. That's why all of this, why we're here tonight, that's why it's so important. I also realized something else recently. You heard me kind of allude to it in the piece. I said, I'm not losing. I'm still here. I'm fighting. I'm not losing. But I got to amend that. When you die, that does not mean that you lose to cancer. You beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner in which you live. So live. Live. Fight like hell. And when you get too tired to fight, then lay down and rest and let somebody else fight for you. That's also very, very important. I can't do this don't give up thing all by myself. I got thousands of people on Twitter and on the streets who encourage me. I got these amazingly wonderful people at ESPN. I got corporate executives, my bosses, this is true, who will text message me. And they'll say, hey, heard you had chemotherapy today. You want me to stop by on the way home from work and pick you up something to eat and bring it to you? Seriously? Who does that? Whose boss does that? My bosses do that. But even with all that, the fight is still much more difficult than I even realized. What you didn't see in the piece is what's gone on probably the last 10 days. I just got out of the hospital this past Friday. 7-day stay. Man, I crashed. I had liver complications. I had kidney failure. I had 4 surgeries in a span of 7 days. I had tubes and wires running in and out of every part of my body. And guys, when I say every part of my body, every part of my body. As of Sunday, I didn't even know if I'd make it here. I couldn't fight. But doctors and nurses could. The people that I love, my friends and family, they could fight. My girlfriend, who slept on a very uncomfortable hospital cot by my side every night, she could fight. The people that I love did last week what they always do. They visited, they talked to me, they listened to me, they sat silent sometimes. They loved me. And that's another one of the components of the V Foundation. This whole fight, this journey thing is not a solo venture. This is something that requires support. I called my big sister Susan a few days ago. Why? I needed to cry. It was that simple. And I know that I can call her. I can call my other sister Cynthia, my brother Stephen, my mom and dad, and I can just cry. And those things are very important. I have one more necessity. Yeah, it's really two. Two very vibrant, intelligent, beautiful young ladies. The best thing I have ever done, the best thing I will ever do, is be a dad to Taylor and Sydney. It's true. I can't ever give up because I can't leave my daughters. Yes, sometimes I embarrass them. Sometimes they think I'm a tyrant. That's a direct quote. There is an adjective that describes tyrant too, but I'm not going to go there. But Taylor and Sydney, I love you guys more than I will ever be able to express. You two are my heartbeat. I am standing on this stage here tonight because of you. My oldest daughter, Taylor, I wanted her to be here, but college sophomore, summer school, second semester, starting this week. Baby girl, I love you, but you go do you. You go do that. My littlest angel is here, my 14-year-old. Sydney, come up here and give Dad a hug because I need one. I want to say thank you, ESPN. Thank you, ESPYs. Thank all of you. Have a great rest of your night and have a great rest of your life.
Stuart Scott passed from this life on January 4th, 2015. He was 49 years old. The memories of both Jim Valvano and Stuart Scott live on through the work of the V Foundation. Sherry Mazur is from the V Foundation for Cancer Research. She joins me next. I'm Bill Daughtry. This is New York Sports and Beyond on 98.7 ESPN. Bill Daughtry back on New York Sports and Beyond with Sherry Mazur from the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Of course, one of the driving forces here at ESPN as we celebrate the 25th ESPYs coming up on Wednesday night from the Microsoft Theater in Los Angeles, hosted by none other than Peyton Manning. Sherry Mazur, welcome back to the program. Two of the most spectacular moments, or two of the most famous moments in the history of this telecast, in the history of the ESPYs, occurred with Jim Valvano and Stuart Scott. Our listeners just heard their speeches a few moments ago. When you hear those speeches, what do they signify? What do they drive up in your memory?
I think a couple of things. For Jim, his don't give up, don't ever give up spirit that so much permeates throughout the work of the foundation and the researchers who we're funding. And with Stuart, I think we just think about his incredible spirit and his perseverance and his refusal to let cancer defeat his spirit. I think it just, you know, those were such powerful moments in history, not just in the ESPYs, but I think just great speeches of all time.
You know, not to trivialize Jim Valvano's speech, but there's a generation of Americans that remember Lou Gehrig's speech on Old Timers Day at Yankee Stadium many years ago on his day back in 1939. I'm here to represent the Jim Valvano speech is, maybe I shouldn't call it the Lou Gehrig speech of this generation, but still it has every bit of impact, every bit of emotion, and drives up memories that would be related in a similar situation.
Absolutely, and you would not believe that this man almost didn't make it to the stage with the passion and enthusiasm that he expressed when he was up there. He was so very sick that day and passed away less than 2 months following that speech, but he was such a strong believer in what the V Foundation could be and really had the vision to set up this organization with the help of ESPN to go on to accomplish wonderful things.
The organization, of course, was officially announced that night when he received the award back in March of 1993. Talk about what the V Foundation has been able to achieve since that night at Madison Square Garden 24 years ago.
Well, we have continued to fund cutting-edge research nationwide. We've invested over $170 million in cancer research grants. We give 100% of every direct donation to cancer, so it's research. So we have an endowment set up that enables us to cover our operating expenses. So, you know, we're continuing to grant more and more, become more involved with larger partners, and just continuing to do amazing work that saves more lives every day.
And, of course, in addition to the ESPY presentation on Wednesday night, Wednesday, July 12th, is the ESPY Day auction. Those proceeds go to the V Foundation for Cancer Research. Talk about some of the marvelous things that people will have a chance to bid on to donate money to this great organization.
Sure. So everything from a behind the scenes of College Game Day to a meet and greet with Roy Williams or John Calipari, an ESPN Super Bowl party. And that auction is actually live now. So it went live a couple of days ago. So people can jump online now, ebay.com/ESPN, and check out those auction items.
And, of course, as you said, many of them are once-in-a-lifetime sports experiences. This year and in years past, there's been the additional wing of cancer research, that for the Stuart Scott Memorial Cancer Research Fund. And I believe the funds from the July 11th SB Golf Classic will be dedicated to that organization. Am I correct with that?
That's exactly right. And that's actually a fund that's housed under the V Foundation umbrella, and it is encouraging cutting-edge research for minority populations who are suffering from cancer. And we've already awarded over $4 million in that fund and continue to invest in that very, very important aspect of research.
The Golf Classic, by the way, will be hosted this year by Leila Ali and Mike Greenberg. So, again, it is a very high time here at ESPN with these two great events going on. And, of course, the auction that is going on right now at ebay.com/ESPN. So you can do your part to give dollars, valuable dollars, to the V Foundation for Cancer Research to fight this dread disease.
Yes, yes. So if you want to go online and check out those once-in-a-lifetime experiences and place a bid there, or if you'd like to go to V.org, that's the letter V.org, and make a donation for whatever feels right for you, we welcome the support in any way.
Sherry, if you would, tell us some of the initiatives, some of the things that the V Foundation has planned for the years ahead with regard to research and funding cancer research.
Well, we are continuing to invest in young investigators. So those who are maybe postdocs who are just trying to get their career started, they might have some innovative, out-of-the-box ideas that perhaps can't get federal funding quite yet. So we invest in those young mavericks in the world of science to encourage them to think big and think outside the box and to come up with new innovations and push the envelope. We're also investing in translational research, which takes the lab from someone who the research from someone who's working in a clinical setting, shares it with a doctor who's actually working with patients, and then is able to take that feedback and go back through the cycle and to fine-tune those therapies and treatments so that we can better understand how cancer works and how it responds and how we can treat it to minimize side effects and provide hope to patients.
Sherry Mazur, what does it mean to you to be a part of this organization, to be a part of this cutting-edge research, to be a part of the life-saving work of the V Foundation?
Well, sadly, 1 in 2 men and 1 in 3 women will be affected by cancer in their lifetimes. And, of course, I have personally been touched by cancer. I've had very close loved ones who have experienced it. So for me personally, it's a passion project. It's not just a job, and I think that most of our staff, if not all of them, feel that way. We are here because we truly believe in the mission, and we want to see a day that cancer is no more.
Sherry Mazur, of course, as always, keep up the excellent work. The websites to remember, of course, the SB Day auction at ebay.com, which is underway right now. You can go to ebay.com/ESPN and bid on some once-in-a-lifetime sports experiences, or if you prefer to just give, to just donate, we appreciate that too, at jimmyv.org. It all benefits the V Foundation for Cancer Research. And, of course, Sherry Mazur, once again, a tip of the hat to you for all the amazing work that you do and inspire others to do at the V Foundation.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
Once again, we invite you to check out the SB Day auction at ebay.com/ESPN and bid on some once-in-a-lifetime sports experiences. It all benefits the V Foundation for Cancer Research. If you don't want to bid, you can just donate at jimmyv.org. The SB Day auction now through July 12th. At ebay.com/ESPN, and you can support the Jimmy V Foundation for Cancer Research. You can also support the Stuart Scott Memorial Cancer Research Fund with your donations. Up next, we talk about family reunions. Lynn Fuller is the author of Secrets to Successful Events. She'll tell you how to make your family reunion successful when she joins me next. I'm Bill Daughtry. This is New York Sports and Beyond on 98.7 ESPN. Bill Daughtry back on New York Sports and Beyond on 98.7 ESPN. I did not know this. I learned things doing this show. I did not know that July is Family Reunion Month. Well, we've got the perfect guest if you're one of those who is still in the planning stages of your family reunion. Lynn Fuller is an author. She's written a book called Secrets to Successful Events. Lynn Fuller joins me now. Lynn, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I mean, there are so many things with not only family reunions, but I remember doing a high school reunion about 15 years ago, and it was quite a project because it was a weekend event as opposed to a one-day event. And I imagine family reunions can take on the same magnitude. My wife and I were talking about if we were having a family reunion, I don't know if there's a place smaller than a major league stadium that would be able to hold all of us.
Well, I understand completely. I come from a very large family as well, but it just depends how large you want your event to be. I do know that there are some families that aged cousins like to get together quite frequently because they're dying off. And so those are much smaller events, but then there's also the very, very large events. You need to rent halls and pretty much take over a facility. So I understand.
Give us some of the steps that, I mean, some of the fundamentals, some of the building blocks to create a great reunion experience.
I always start off with a committee. I know a lot of people like to do things on their own, but if you do it on your own, you're going to find out that you're going to continue to do it on your own. So I always say get together a committee and make sure that one of the folks in the group is a treasurer so they can track your money. You're going to have to most likely pay for a facility, rent it. And so that's important, the committee. Getting the date and location is important, and you need to put out some feelers to make sure that the dates that you're looking at don't fall upon a family member's wedding or graduation or big anniversary for an older family member. And usually in looking at locations, you need to determine how convenient that is for the larger group. Today you no longer can just send out postal mail and say this is when the date is. You need to actually maintain two different types of lists, one of emails for your younger generations, plural, and then also for a postal mailing address for the older generations that may not have an email address. I also like to put someone in charge of food that actually is the one everybody knows has the best pasta salad or makes the best pies, because they're going to understand how much food needs to be ordered and specifically what kinds of food. If you ask me, I'm going to say, I'm not your gal. I'm the one that offers to bring salt and I know where my microwave is. So I'm not the person to handle that aspect. Also look for, and I'm glad you talked about it earlier, I'm a big believer that when you do a family reunion that you not just do a single day, that you wrap it into an entire event. That's going to help more out-of-towners come because there's going to be more things for them to do. So you'll need to find activities for the event itself and then for the entire weekend. I also believe takeaways are important so that if and some of my favorites are a booklet with grandma's favorite recipes so that you can continue to pass down family traditions. And then to me, the last and most important thing is to say thank you to everyone that was involved so that you can come back next time and tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, would you do it again?
Lynn Fuller is my guest talking about family reunions. July is Family Reunion Month. Lynn is an author. She's written a book called Secrets to Successful Events. You know, and I was going down my own little personal checklist of all these things that we did. And, you know, thank you. We hit most of them right on the head, especially with that committee thing, because, again, it's such a massive undertaking and delegating some of the different duties, not just the treasury duties, but there are other aspects of securing the venue if you decide not to have it at a house. And then you get into, and this was, to me, this was the most life-changing part of the reunion. Because it's family doesn't mean that everybody is in constant contact. Finding some of the people and contacting some of the people and talking to those voices for the first time. And you got to have the right person to do that if you're going to attract that crowd. To me, that was the most engaging and most life-changing part of the reunion that we had all those years ago.
And you make a great point. And one of the things I sometimes see is that with a family, a parent or a sibling will make that decision for a family member and say, oh, no, they won't come, they're too far away, when in fact I think it's very important, like you did, and went out and reached everyone, because that point of contact, that connection, really gave them a sense of what that entire event would be like. It was going to be a warm, welcoming event, and that made them want to come even more. But when you have someone else speak for someone, quite often they would have come, but they didn't. Some family members don't even tell them because they are out of state and figure, no big deal. So I'm very glad that you did what you did. I think it probably positively affected your attendance.
You know, Lynn Fuller, we're talking about reunion. She's the author of a book, Secrets to Successful Events. I'm Bill Daughtry on 98.7 ESPN. When you do a school reunion, I mean, the history is pretty much there. But when you're doing a family reunion, boy, there's some discovery you have to do there.
Yes. Most certainly. And I sometimes say go back to the last family wedding, because a lot of times they've done some of your homework for you in tracking down people. You can also use a lot of social media to kind of back into people to figure out where they are, track down an address. I've even known some that go as far as to look into property tax records to get a valid address, a mailing address, to reach out to people to start that conversation. But it's much like finding that long-lost relative. It really is. And another good way to connect with people is if you can find the genealogist in the family. Sometimes they've done a lot of research and tracked people down so they can back you into other ways to connect with people.
It is always important to have that one person somewhere at your disposal who knows the family story. That way you can dig under some rocks that maybe haven't been touched for a long time.
Yes, and normally they will be more than willing to raise their hand to say, I'd love to come to the event. I'd love to bring my books and reams of paper and diagrams and family charts and share them with everyone. And if someone wants to buy all or just pay for the photocopies, I'll be more than willing to share that information as well. They've got a little selfish reason for wanting to come, because they're looking to continue with updating the current generation of information as well. So they're great people.
Lynn Fuller, I mean, it's obvious summertime, you know, vacation time, kids are out of school, and there's a lot more family accessibility. But what are some of the other advantages to having reunions in the summer?
For families themselves, it's vacation time, so it really allows them to travel much, much better. And I also believe it helps them plan and to wrap a longer vacation into it. So it really does give them some freedoms that they wouldn't normally have if they know well in advance. And I normally encourage folks to allow at least a minimum 6 months lead time. Or to, if you've been doing family reunions, before you leave the last one, lock in your dates or general information about when you'd like to schedule it the following year. But it just gives folks the freedom to travel, and also to, if you've got that cousin that you've always enjoyed spending time with and they're going to be there, you can make sure you wrap additional time into connecting more deeply with those individuals.
I'm going to do my best to make people buy the book, because we're giving up a lot of information here. But still, one of the things you talk about are traditional and surprising places to hold a reunion. We won't talk about those. We'll let you get the book, Secrets to Successful Events, and you can find out more about it there. But, I mean, what was it that even drove you to write this book? Was it a reunion that you had or attended where things were amiss, or were you just documenting some personal experience?
I've actually been involved with events my entire career, which have included class reunion, family reunions, festivals, all different kinds of events and workshops. And I found that there were so many details, because with events, the devil's in the details. And if you truly have thought of all the things that can go right and go wrong and anticipate for them, then it just makes it easier. So, and that's the same thing for your guests. If you've orchestrated an event with a well-thought-out plan the work the plan, then it really can be a more enjoyable event for everyone, because you want them to want to come back. And to me, that's what it's all about, a positive experience in the end for everyone, event organizers and event attendees.
That's when you know you've done a good job, when people are talking about when is the next one. We did three high school classes in 1 year. I went to a huge high school in Mount Vernon, New York, and we were all very close-knit, so we all got together and had our reunion at one place for a weekend back in 2001. And I think out of the 600-plus people that attended, I think maybe there was one or two that were unsatisfied, but everybody else is, when are we going to do this again?
That's fabulous. And for those that didn't like it, those are the ones that you raise their hand for them and tell them they're on the committee next time so they can fix what they didn't like.
Or better yet, let them plan the reunion next time and let them put their skills to the test, which is basically what we did.
Yes.
Lynn Fuller, the name of the book, Secrets to Successful Events. Where can people find this book?
You can find it at Amazon and other major booksellers. And if you need to, you can also go to my website, which is my name, Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Fuller, F-U-H-L-E-R.com.
Lynn Fuller, thanks for the time. We wish you nothing but continued success.
Thank you. Wishing you blue skies, too.
We thank our guest, Lynn Fuller. You can find out more about her book, Secrets to Successful Events, at her website. Lynn Fuller, you spell it F-U-H-L-E-R.com. We also thank Sherry Mazur for all she does with the V Foundation for Cancer Research. You can donate and help fight cancer at jimmyv.org. And more importantly, you can check out the ESPY Day auction. It's going on right now at ebay.com/ESPN. Bid on some once-in-a-lifetime sports experiences for the benefit of the V Foundation for Cancer Research between now and July 12th. Cast your bid at ebay.com/ESPN. We thank all of our guests, and we encourage you, in the memory of both Jim Valvano and Stuart Scott, to do your part to fight cancer and make a generous donation to the Jimmy V Foundation for Cancer Research at their website, jimmyv.org. New York Sports and Beyond is a public affairs production of 98.7 ESPN. Our producers are Raymond Santiago and Chris Mitchell. I'm your host, Bill Daughtry. Thanks for listening. We look forward to seeing you next time with another of 3, 2, 1. We look forward to seeing you next time with another edition of New York Sports and Beyond on 98.7 ESPN.